WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into our 25th anniversary week here. We're going to be at Costas on Thursday celebrating, and again on Friday at Drug City in Dundalk. Luke has never been to Drug City. I'm trying to drag him down for a big boy milkshake on Friday before the Mets come to town. We're going to be at Costas all day Thursday with stuff to give away. I have all sorts of like sort of old school stuff here that I'm going to be presenting. Luke, I don't know if you had a I'm petered out bumper sticker, but these are from 2006. We still have some of these available. We have some. This was our 10th anniversary on 8-8-0-8. These are the actual tickets from that. We have some old nasty newsletters lying around here. How good looking I used to be, if you can see back in the day. But we're going to be doing all this stuff at Costas on Thursday, then again on Friday at Drug City, giving away scratch-offs from the Maryland Lottery, as well as supporting our friends from Window Nation. It has been 25 years as of Thursday. John Maroon's going to come out. He is the one guest I know that he was at the radio station the day it opened. So John Maroon's going to be joining us. Costas Thursday, Friday, Drug City. Lots and lots of celebrities and fun and guests. Be a part of it. By then, somebody new will be an Oriole, right, Luke? By Friday, by Thursday, by Tuesday night, the Orioles are going to be transformed. Because I saw John Angelos and Mike Elias in there drinking beer and eating pizza in the skybox, and they were texting, and things are happening, and they pulled Jordan Westberg, and how did they not trade him already, Luke? fancy the towel, don't they? I mean, this Oriole thing is wearing people out on a day because it's daily. It's not like the Ravens where you get to bitch about it for 6 days and wait around and wait around and wait around. It's like here and now. Lose to the Phillies, get out of bed and play the Yankees.
Yeah, and oh, by the way, still in first place, still enter the Toronto series with the best record in the American League. And yeah, there are questions and who's going to be traded, who's going to arrive, who's going to be the perceived savior. Will there be a perceived savior? Not guessing we're going to see that extreme, that dramatic of a move, but certainly with Tyler Wells having been optioned on Sunday to AA Bowie, you'd have to think they're adding at least one starting pitcher. You know, whether it's going to be, I don't think it's going to be Justin Verlander at this point. I don't think the Padres are selling the way it sounds, although who knows? That's why
I was all in on Snell.
Well, it'd be great to have him from a rental standpoint, but are the Padres selling, right? I mean, that's why it's so tough talking about this. And, you know, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, when we really started talking about the trade deadline, it sounds wishy-washy at the time, but you're saying, you know what? Who's going to be a buyer and who's going to be a seller? And we've seen, the Chicago White Sox have sold. We've seen a lot of that. In fact, I think you look at some of those deals and say, you know, the Orioles, they couldn't have beaten that trade offer, you know, for that individual. When, you know, you look at some of these pieces that have been traded from the White Sox, looking at Giolito and Reynaldo Lopez or Lance Lynn, you know. But at the same time, you look at some of these teams like the Padres, like the Angels, for example. You and I spent so much time with the dream of Shohei Ohtani, and the Angels became buyers rather than selling Ohtani and selling off their other players. So it's just so tough to try to project that. I mean, who would have thought 3 or 4 weeks ago that maybe longer, let's say 6 weeks ago, that the Mets would have been sellers, you know, and talking about, trading Scherzer, maybe trading Verlander. I mean, it's just, it's wild. And
Luke,
that's why
did I ever tell you about that time that idiot Gillick, who's in the Hall of Fame, tried to deal for Chris Widger? Tried to trade us out of the playoffs. We made the playoffs. We beat the Yankees in 96. Yeah, so these trading deadlines, that's not my first rodeo here as to whether you're a buyer or a seller. But this is our first rodeo where the Orioles have been where they are and positioned where they are against the rest of the division, where the Yankees, not only are the Yankees struggling, you just beat them up, right? And they have all this sunk money. The Red Sox are a mess. That this looks like the window of our lifetime. If you're a 55-year-old Oriole fan or a 40-year-old Oriole fan, this is the window to say, they better win one here in the next 5 years and whatever the pathway to doing that is. But this is not a go fish year. This is, you're in first place. You have the most amount of talent to deal from. You can get anybody you want theoretically if you think they're going to help you win. But then you wake up and Tyler Wells is in Bowie and you're like, I don't know who's going to pitch for us. And what are they going to give up to get Scherzer? What are they going to give up to get Verlander? What would they have had to give up to get Ohtani if he really were available? And would they be willing to do it? And would Junior be willing to pay the bill?
Yeah, I mean, these are all the questions you're talking about. And look, I mean, we talked about the Ohtani thing, and he's not being dealt. Scherzer has already been traded. Verlander, are the Orioles going to be in on that? I mean, I'd say this from the standpoint of they have one of the lowest payrolls in baseball. I don't think it would take a ton to get someone like that in terms of prospects because of the money, the financial commitment. I mean, unless you're talking about the Mets being willing to dump money to try to get some better prospects. Do I think the Orioles are going to be in on that? No. I think you're looking at best case scenario would be a Blake Snell type guy who, again, is he even going to be traded? Considering the Padres are, suddenly playing a little bit better and mathematically, I'm not saying it's likely, but they're not out of the wild card picture. And that's what just makes this tough because you have three wild cards now. I mean, you mentioned 1996. There was one wild card then. It was still a very, I don't want to say very, a much more defined market of buyers compared to sellers. Whereas I think other than looking at the obvious teams at the top or the obvious teams at the very bottom of the standings, we've got so much gray area with some
of
these
teams. If you
think
you can get to 88 wins, all of a sudden you're a buyer, right? Literally.
Yeah. Or it's a case of okay, maybe we'll do a little bit of both. I mean, look at how the Orioles proceeded last year. And again, I get it. No one really expected the Orioles to be one of the wild cards, but they were in that race until the last week of September, and they even sold off a couple pieces. So that's where you look at some of those middle of the road teams where you say, all right, some teams might do a little bit of both. They might sell off a piece that is a depreciating asset in terms of a pending free agent or an older player or an expensive player, but they might go make a move that adds an interesting young player to the mix. So that's where it's just so difficult to look at this. And specifically, it's difficult to look at the Orioles because we don't know how Mike Elias in this front office proceeds in terms of being a buyer and what that looks like. So, I don't think it's Justin Verlander, to be very obvious, to be very clear. But I think you look at Marcus Stroman, although the Cubs, are looking like a team that may not sell. We've talked about Eduardo Rodriguez. Jack Flaherty's still there for the Cardinals after they dealt Jordan Montgomery, who had also been linked to the Orioles, but he ends up going to Texas. So, you've got guys in that tier. I've heard the name Michael Lorenzen from the Tigers, but, these are guys that they help the floor, which, by the way, I think helping the floor of your starting rotation is, kind of an understated part of this, given where Tyler Wells is at this point, given where even where Dean Kramer and Kyle Bradish and certainly Grayson Rodriguez, where they all are from inning standpoints. So it's not as though you add a Flaherty or add a Michael Lorenzen that it's not going to help you at all, but is that really moving the needle for October? I question
that. If I
had
three more Kyle Gibsons, would that really help me? I guess that's what I'm asking you.
I think it'd help you for the rest of the regular season, right? In terms of maybe managing some of your young guys and skipping someone if there's an extra off day or two built in and you kind of maintain, the workloads that way. But is that helping, is that improving your win probability in October? That's where I struggle with this. So if you're acknowledging that being an unknown, how much are you willing to give up to add another starter or two to the mix? I'd be shocked if they don't add one starter. I mean, I think I was feeling more and more that way even before they optioned Wells, even before Wells had his poor outing on Saturday night. But it's just a matter of who's it going to be? Is it going to be, you said three more Kyle Gibsons. Well, they're not going to add three, but would it be someone else that?
I'm just saying if I had three Kyle Gibsons, would I feel better about October? I don't know that I would.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'd almost say, give me three Grayson Rodriguez and I'll take my chances this year because yeah. I have three Grayson Rodriguez in the field. I mean, I don't know what I'm going to get out of Henderson or Rutschman or these guys haven't played in those kind of games either. Right. So this is new to all of these guys. The veteran part of I'm a veteran and I'm a five ERA guy. I think the fans are going to be more forgiving this year in that it's already been fun. It was fun Sunday night. It's going to be fun the rest of the way. I don't know that they need to win the World Series, but if they're putting themselves in a position to win the World Series, to me, it doesn't have to be November 3rd of this year. They need to put themselves in the best position over the next 3 or 4 years to give them themselves a chance to win every year. And I think that goes without saying that they're not going to give up the whole farm for anybody. Right. But I'm also not of the mindset that they're going to have enough, that we're going to look at this and say, oh, this is our year. No matter what he does at the trading, getting Verlander, oh, this has got to be our year. I don't know. One of our starters is in Bowie right now. The other one in Rodriguez, I don't know what we're getting. Kramer didn't make 90 pitches the other night, right? I mean, we don't have an ace. We don't have a – we have a – hey, they've been really good for 2 or 3 months, and we're crossing our fingers, and the back end of the bullpen was phenomenal in the spring. We got to get that back to where – I mean, I still think they need a bullpen arm, even though the kid from Oakland's been okay.
Yeah, Fujinami, his last couple times out, I mean, he was really good on Sunday, and I get it. You know, he wasn't pitching in a high leverage spot, but missing bats. I mean, he throws 100. He's got a good split. I think considering where he was statistically with Oakland and what the Orioles gave up to get him, which was not a whole lot, I think that's a move to me that has some promise here over the next couple months. So definitely, I totally agree with you that they need another bullpen arm, because this is where we keep talking about this. How do you solve this problem in terms of, all right, you start a game and, you know, you kind of work backwards, right? Felix Bautista is your best pitcher. Starter or reliever, Felix Bautista is their best pitcher, right? So you go backwards to front. How do you get to him? And is that more starting pitching? Or is that adding another reliever or two that you can make that sixth, seventh inning chain that much stronger? So yeah, the answer to me is, I think, a combination of both. Now, how much are they going to do? How much are they going to be willing to give up in terms of their farm system?
What do you think of Westberg? If he walked off the field Sunday night and he was involved in a Verlander deal, how would you have felt about that?
I mean, I'd have to see what the rest is. I mean, Jordan Westberg himself is a player that I think has a really good future. Is he going to be an all-star? I don't know about that, but I think he can be a really good player. And just to be clear for anyone listening who may not have seen post-game stuff on social media, Brandon Hyde made very clear that was not a trade situation. That was the Orioles had a lead, and they had Adam Frazier playing left field. Bring in Ryan McKenna for center. Austin Hayes moves to left, and then Frazier went to second base. That's why Westbrook came out. I saw him in the clubhouse. He was packing for the trip to Toronto. That's not to say he won't be traded, but I don't think that specific move had anything to do with the trade. But
that's part of the fun of doing all this on Sunday Night Baseball, right?
Hug alert, right? We've heard that term on social media for a few years now, hug alert. You know, anytime someone gets taken out of a game and you see him start giving hugs in the dugout, you think that there's a trade. But I think what's interesting, because you brought this point up, and I think we've talked about it, but as we're with the trade deadline basically upon us, and as you and I are talking, we might mention some players who are being dealt or have been dealt. But to me, that's where you look at some of these guys that aren't just rentals. Like look at Dylan Cease, for example. I think the White Sox want to keep him. I assume they want to keep him. There's been plenty of indicators that for all the other players that they've sold off, Cease, who's under control through 2025, that's going to be, if they are moving him, that's going to command much more. But if you're the Orioles and say, you know what, we can add a legitimate ace to what we have right now, and we have him for the next couple of years, then that's the kind of move that I think you take a long look at and say, okay, it helps us this year. It may not put us over the top in winning a World Series, but it gives us better, gives us a much better chance.
Are you going to put Colton Cowser in that deal?
Well, but that's when you get back to, you are going to have to give up something to get something, right? I mean, this is one thing that's bugged me, and I even made this comment on Twitter or X or whatever they're calling it these days over the weekend, that you see some Orioles fans talk about the Andrew Miller for Eduardo Rodriguez trade, and they speak of that as though Rodriguez is a 3-time Cy Young Award winner. Don't get me wrong. He's a good starting pitcher, and at times he's been a very good starting pitcher, and it'd be great to add him at this current trade deadline and would be their best starting pitcher, or at least certainly their most accomplished. But, you look at that trade, you look at that deal, people kind of forget. The Detroit Tigers were trying to get Andrew Miller at that point in time, at that moment in time. And think about how that series went, even though, the Orioles swept Detroit in the divisional round. But if the Tigers had gotten Andrew Miller, does that series flip And it's different, and maybe we're talking about a much
Maybe
different.
Delman Young swings and misses.
Yeah, exactly. So the point
Yeah.
is you're trying to, you always have to give up something to get something. I mean, I know fans constantly dream about, you know, that you're going to completely fleece your trade partner, but
I
in
used to call
most
those the
cases.
Rex Barney phone calls because back in the 90s when you were a baby and I was doing sports radio for the first couple years, Rex Barney was on the air and he would take the phone call and little Luke would call in from Shrewsbury and say, Mr. Barney, can we trade for Barry Bonds? I want to trade Jack Voigt and Leo Gomez. And they'd be, yeah, sure. You know, like that doesn't. It's a very sophisticated market, right? I mean, let's call it what it is for money, for years. For agents, for what they're going to have to, for needs and depth in organization. Nobody knows more about what he's doing than Mike Elias. I'm committed to that. I'm committed to whatever he does is probably a good decision at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. I think it's fair to question and ask for, you know, and I would even say this much, and I wrote this at BaltimorePositive.com in the aftermath of Wells being sent down. To me, you have to add a starting pitcher. And that doesn't mean it's going to be Justin Verlander. Let's be very clear about that. But you need to add a starting pitcher. And I think even from a clubhouse standpoint, forget about fans and media for a moment. Just the guys, the 25 or 26 guys. You know, more than that, really, when you count some of the guys that have been on the Norfolk shuttle. But they're looking at this and they're saying, all right, we get it. Tyler was struggling. You know, he was bad his last few times out, but he's also been our second best starting pitcher. And you guys just sent him to Double A. And look, that's fine. And, you know, I'm not saying that we're burying him or we don't expect him to be back or pitching meaningful innings and meaningful games for them in August and September and hopefully October. But you look at that. What message does it send your clubhouse if you option Tyler Wells to the minors? And again, I don't have a problem with that move, let's be clear. But if you do that and then you don't add a starting pitcher or you add a very fringe kind of starting pitcher that's not moving the needle whatsoever, you know, I'm guessing that probably wouldn't sit well in the clubhouse. I'm not saying, not suggesting there's a mutiny or anything like that. Let's be very honest. But my overall point is, yes, you want to maintain the long-term health of this farm system, the long-term health of this organization. You want to maintain a 5, 6, 7 year window of having a chance to win a World Series, whatever it ends up being. But at the same time, you do still have an opportunity and a moment right now to try to take advantage of this. And you have a team that has the best record in the American League that these guys on this current roster, and I'm talking about Rutschman, I'm talking about Gunnar Henderson, I'm talking about Kyle Gibson, and some of the, you know, not many, but the few veterans that are on this team. Not only do they need some help, they deserve some help because they played that well this year. And again, that doesn't mean I'm
Austin
trading
Hayes and
Jackson Holliday.
Santander and these guys, Brandon Hyde, who've been
Yeah.
here from, who've done a lot of getting their ass kicked on summer nights for three,
No
4 years, right?
doubt. No doubt. So I think that's something that you consider. Again, that doesn't
And the fan
drive making
base.
a
And the
deal.
fan base.
Well, of course,
Yeah.
but I was saying, just put aside for a second, but that's part of this. And we talked about this at the trade deadline last year. Remember, they traded Trey Mancini. Most people expected that, but then they also dealt Jorge Lopez. And look, that turned out to work out nicely because you got Yennier Cano and Cade Povich, who's one of your best pitching prospects currently. But at the time, that was a ticked off clubhouse to the point, if you recall, Mike Elias actually flew down to Texas and address the team because that's how unha you know how unhappy and confused the team was at that point in time because he had made some comments about basically saying, you know, we don't think that making the playoffs is a very high probability proposition, which, by the way, he wasn't really wrong in saying that, but when you say it publicly, yeah, it's gonna ruffle the feathers of your players, and you have to remember that. So in the same way, you look at where they stand right now with this opportunity, being in first place, having the best record in the league, and having just sent down Tyler Wells, knowing you could definitely use another bullpen arm. If you come up empty here, and your only trade deadline activity is acquiring Fujinami, who, hey, looks like has a chance to help them down the stretch, yeah, I think you're going to have some guys in that clubhouse, in addition to the fans and media, that's a given, but you're going to even have some guys in that clubhouse who I don't think they'd say it publicly per se, but they're going to be kind of saying, hey, you know, what's the deal here? You know, we played so great. You know, we have the best record in the league, and you see the Rangers making these moves and these teams trading off pitchers and what have you. And you know, what did we do here? So I think there that is a factor that isn't driving Mike Elias. You know, I don't think that's at the forefront of his thinking, but I think it's part of it. You know, I think it's part of you have this group that has gotten you to this point, as you mentioned, a lot of guys who took a lot of bullets for a long time. You know, when you talk about Hayes, Santander, et cetera, that, you know, you owe it to this current team to put forth a legitimate effort here to make yourself better. Doesn't mean you're trading off the farm. Doesn't mean you're devastating your system. Doesn't mean you're putting a major dent in your list of top 30 prospects, but there are deals to be made. And we've already seen some deals to be made that I think would have made sense for the Orioles that, hey, okay, they didn't get it. You know, that's not to say there aren't other players that aren't available at this point, but I think you look at this group. If we're talking on Tuesday night after 6 p.m. And we're talking about the Orioles having not made any more moves, I think you're going to have not just disappointed fans and questioning media. I think you'd have a disappointed clubhouse as well, because these guys have played that well that they deserve some help. And again, doesn't mean it's going to be top of the market kind of help, but I think they deserve some help here to try to fortify this thing and maintain what they've been able to do to get to October. And look, on paper, you're right. They don't have that ace, but you know, 2014, they got to the ALCS and Chris Tillman was their ace. The Kansas City Royals, the team they played that year, who was their ace? Their bullpen was their ace, quite frankly. So, you know, there are different ways to do it and we'll see how it plays out, but you have to think that another starter and I would think another bullpen arm, you'd really like to see them come away with each of those, each of those items as we're recapping the trade deadline here in the next 24 to 48 hours.
I'm going to leave John Angelos out of this, although I did find it very interesting that David Cohn said, it's nice to have your bank next to you when you're out there texting. So all the images of Elias and John Angelos, buddy in, and John getting a little FaceTime on TV, drinking some beer and whatnot, I'll leave him alone. Oh, by the way, Wes Moore squirting people with the kid and at home plate, and there's images of he and John Angelos talking right on the field there. I'm sure they were exchanging lease ideas, but I'll let that go because there is a trading deadline and we have our 25th anniversary. We're going to be at Costas on Thursday. We're going to be back at Drug City on Friday, upstairs at the Fountain if you're coming by on Friday, giving away lots and lots of historical WNST mystical relics, as well as swag. All of it brought to you by our friends at the lottery. I'll have some scratch-offs to give away. Our friends at Window Nation, I'll have the fun floppy hat. Leonard Raskin has given me the special crab claw with the beer opener that I'll be utilizing at Costas right around 4 p.m. on Thursday afternoon. 11 to 4 on Thursday at Costas, 11 to 4 on Friday at Drug City. All of it brought to you by the Maryland Lottery and Window Nation. We're going to make some trades. We're going to talk some football around here. We're going to celebrate 25 years around here, and we've got some Maryland Crab Cake Tour updates as well for the community. We're going up to Greenmount Station in a couple of weeks. We're going to be back down in Glen Burnie at Pappas very, very soon and back up in Harford County as well. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive. Oh.